right now on VFN TV. We're talking about the season of the prophetic, continuing our conversation, understanding about the seasons, that prophecy has seasons, that you have a season of your own in your own life and that prophetic season that you're in. We're talking about how the same mouth we can speak blessings and cursings. We're going to go back and look at the final quest, how Rick Joyner was seeing a vision about going behind the veil and seeing the spiritual battle taking place. We're going to talk about that and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
We're going to be talking, continuing our talks. As a matter of fact, you caught our last program, we were talking about the prophetic. We want to continue talking about the season of the prophetic. There's different seasons that we go through, different changes that happen to us. Like trees go through seasons and they gain leaves, they lose leaves, they go through processes of dropping seeds, growing seeds. I mean, there's just seasons of things. And we're going to talk about prophecy. When you think about Amos chapter 3, verse 7, where God says specifically that surely the sovereign Lord, I mean, you can see it on your screen right there, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing, think about it, nothing, without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. So God, the creator of the universe, moves prophetically through his people to let us know what he's doing, where he's going. That's why it's important, by the way, to hear what's going on, to be able to define a true prophet, false prophet, what's going on, because you want to be able to follow that correct words of what God is saying and doing. And everybody knows in part and prophesies in part, so we got to hear wholly what God is saying. And so there's different seasons of a prophetic word. And I talked about this last program, talking about seasons of prophecy, how it lasts for a time and it ends, like a football season begins and ends. There's words that happen and outcomes could be positive or negative. People can respond or not respond, but God does not go on forever in what he's saying. He is forever, but in regards to his word to us and our generation. So seasons of prophecy, and then the importance of focusing on God, I talked about. And I talked about the seasons of change, how when things begin to change, we have to let go of the old season, move into the new season, and don't be defined by the season that you're in, be defined by the God who's bringing you into the season. And we talked about a season of redefining. That's important because I talked about A.W. Tozer, if you can remember that. Think about this. Look at what A.W. Tozer said, and I shared this in the last program, but I just wonder, when you're being redefined, when somebody says, I'm going through transition, quite often that's defined as I'm going through hell, but God is in it. I mean, everything's going difficult in their life, right? Well, A.W. Tozer said, you can see it on your screen right there. He says, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. That's not God hurting you. But in regards to he steps back, he allows things to happen. Like you look at Paul, and Paul was going through this buffeting that was taking place, that Satan was buffeting him and it's a thorn in his flesh, and he's crying out to God, God, I'm praying for people and they're being healed. I'm delivering your word and cities are turning over to you and demons are being cast out. And I have this apostolic situation going on where, many churches are being birthed. And Paul's going, but I'm dying here, right? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, because God was using Paul mightily in that. You remember where Paul came from. He was a religious zealot and he was serving God to the best he knew, but he didn't realize that he was a terrorist towards God and God's people until they got saved and became Paul, Saul to Paul. And so now God is revealing Paul writes almost, roughly say about half of the New Testament, right? So that's a lot of entrustment that we're following the words of, that we allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through Paul, this man, Paul, and he wrote it out, or his scribes wrote it out, and so it's pretty important how to get it right. So God, if God's using you, when you're going through redefining and transition, understand God is preparing you for the next season. If he's going to use you to greater levels, don't think that last season's storms are going to do for the thing that's ahead. Isn't it your most difficult seasons that you grow closer to God, that you learn out the deeper things of God, that you get more intimate with him, you can hear him closely, you kind of filter things out. It's actually a redefining. It's a redefining of, of who we are. And that's what happens. It redefines us in those seasons of redefining. And the first thing I'm going to talk about in this program as we continue this conversation about seasons of the prophetic and prophecy is that understanding that this all, everything that we're doing as believers is for an audience of one. It's for an audience of one. Think about that. Is that big enough for your crowd? An audience of one. I mean, God created the universe. He created the earth. He created man in his own image and own likeness. So what? So he could have a relationship with man. For an idea. He wanted Adam to be satisfied with his presence. He wanted Adam and Eve to be satisfied with strolling with him in the garden. It's about an intimate relationship. He's given us the air we breathe. He created the image and likeness of God. He sacrificed his son so we could have a relationship with him. We call ourselves believers and followers of God through Jesus Christ, right? It's about an audience of one. This is so important to understand that because, Charles Simpson told me once on the program here, he's one of the leaders in the charismatic renewal movement back in the 60s and 70s. But he said, some man came into his office and he said, I put you up. This is not that particular thing, but he said, I put you up on a pedestal and I'll take you down. You know, right? People will just, worship anything. They'll lift things up and they'll begin that. You have no control over that. But you can make sure that people don't do that. When somebody fell at Paul's feet, he said, stand up, man. We're just a mere man. When you see John, revelator, John, who said, he wrote himself that Jesus loved him more than anybody else. But when he's writing, he's a slave in the salt mines, and he's getting the encounter with God that he writes about in Revelation of Christ, in the book of Revelation, that he falls at the feet of an angel. And the angel says, I am an angel, man. Don't worship me. What do you think God thinks about you allowing people to worship you, choosing you over them? I think it's important to understand this is for an audience of one. And you're not that one. He's that one. A true prophet, Rick Joyner writes this in his book, he says, of Morningstar Ministries, a true prophet draws people closer to God. A false prophet draws people closer to them. Does that make sense? And a true prophet, all you want to do is just bring people to Christ. You got to answer to God for your life and what you're doing and delivering that word. So it's for an audience of one. This is so important to understand. That's why when you're shifting seasons and God's redefining you, he's preparing you for him to do his will in the next season. You got to pay attention in the class that you're in because he's training you up for what he's going to do in the next season. Everything that you had in your life to this point is dress rehearsal for tomorrow. I'm telling you, this is so encouraging. So it's important that moving in obedience to the Lord is our goal and how we love him. It's how we love him. Though many reap benefits from our ministry and our prophetic words that we're giving in our seasons, understand it's loving God. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, the Word of God says, God is not unjust. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him. Think about that. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and you continue to help them. You know how you love God? If God's given you that prophetic word and he's called you to deliver in that season, you love him by telling them, even if they mistreat you, even if they accuse you of wrong things, even if they try to take you out, even if they lock you up like they locked up Jeremiah in a cage, even if they stone you, this is about God wanting to talk to his people and he's given you a word for a season. Love him by obeying him and delivering that word for that season. He tells us, Paul writes about it, nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Nothing we do for the Lord is in vain. Nothing. So it's for an audience of one. Yeah, people react to what we're doing positively or negatively. People, if they accuse Jesus of being Beelzebub, if they accuse the Son of God of being the devil and moving by the powers of the devil, why do you rank higher than the Lord? He says, nobody's going to be treated better than the teacher. No student is going to be treated better than the teachers. The most we can expect is to be treated as much as Jesus has been treated, but not any better than he's been treated. That's what he's saying. And so the whole thing, it doesn't matter about that. Understand this, that, it's not men's responses, but it's for an audience of one. I think about this. I think about Jesus. You know, you hear people quote all the time this amazing verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. But understand this. It's so vitally important to remember that it's for an audience of one that even Jesus himself, the Son of God. No, you can see this on your screen right now. The Son of God did everything he did for an audience of one. For an audience of one. I mean, yes, he loves you. But he did it for the Father. It was the Father that had to be pleased. It's the Father that had the sin had to be dealt with. So he focused on the Father. He didn't do anything or say anything unless the Father said it or told him to do it. I mean, he was going into the complete instructions of the one. He was focused on the audience of one. And he had never been out of relationship with him until he went to the cross. And when the sin of mankind, of all mankind, was put on him, that's when the first time ever God had to turn away from his own son, because the sin of men were on his son, the Holy Son. And he couldn't look upon that. Jesus said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Think about that. He was doing it for him, for the Father, for us, for an audience of one. And so when you see John 3:16, he says, For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Jesus did what he did for the Father. He made the Father known. He wasn't making himself. He was making the Father known. When you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Is that right? And so we're ministering, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a prophet, evangelist, teacher, you know, whatever you are. I mean, just a believer who loves God, that are going out and loving on people, leading people to the Lord, discipling people. It's for Jesus. It's for an audience of one. You will be downcast, depressed, and despondent if you do it for the response of people. People are fickle. People have their own free will. Some people follow God, some don't. Jesus told us that most people won't. He said that the road that leads to destruction is wide and many follow it, but the road that leads to eternal life is narrow and few find it. But the few are awesome. The few are the ones that are powerful. In the parable of the farmer and the seed, 25% basically said yes and 75% said no. I mean, only God knows, but understand that it's about you're gonna live the span of your life, and to be absent from the body the moment you pass in this life, you're gonna be present with God. And God's gonna be continue to move in his plan. And so you have to understand, I just want to be right before God. God, what do you want me to do? This is your one moment in your life that you can honor him. When we get into heaven, we're going to continue to work in heaven. We're going to rule and reign with Christ in eternity and the things that are going on. But this is your moment in life. This requires faith. You got to trust God. You got to believe God. You got to believe that he exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. You have to believe that, be fully persuaded against all hope and hope, believe, and so become exactly what God said. You'd be the join Abraham and being the father of faith. Join, say, like, I want to be known for faith in you. I trust you, God. One of the biggest ways you got to trust him is still deliver the word in your season when everybody's rejecting the word that you're called to deliver. Guess what? I believe when they get to the throne room, not you, but the word you deliver would come up before them and say, listen, for 20 years I prophesied to you in your generation, for 20 years, and you didn't respond. It's his word will be brought, not you. But understand that Jesus said it to Tyre and Sidon. He says, listen, it would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than you, because you missed the time of your visitation. And so we want to pay attention. This is not about us. It's about him. It's for an audience of one. You can enjoy your life so much when you realize, you know, I'm just doing what you told me to do. I'm just delivering the word you told me to deliver. And quite often, you know, you'll be surprised. There's not a lot of large crowds around those who actually please the Lord and don't please men. But those who love the Lord and please the Lord love hanging around those who please the Lord. Listen, we're going to be right back after this break. Be sure to comment below. We love hearing your thoughts. Are you in this prophetic season? Is it ringing a bell with you? Share your thoughts. The community loves. We have over 45,000 right now people in our community, plus those that haven't even subscribed. Be sure to subscribe all the way to our channel. But also, join the conversation at vfnkbcommunity.com. VFNKBCommunity.com. We'll see you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
He said, my people are going to cry out to me. I said, when? And he says, it will keep getting darker until they do. It will keep getting darker until they do.
So now you got races blaming each other. You got police blaming the people blaming the police. You got parents blaming children, children blaming parents. When are we going to seek his face? When are we going to turn?
So many times in the airports, I just want to get on my seat and get in the movie and everything, but God uses it to open my eyes and say, no, like you might be flying somewhere to speak to thousands, but it's just as important that your eyes are open to the person that is sitting next to you and how God can use those little moments in your life, but not just for yourself, but for other people. And it could be in Ubers and taxis and airplanes, and it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey there. And look, if your eyes are open to every single thing that I have in store for you, if your eyes are open all the time. And it's not just when you get to church on Sunday that God can work. It's the entire week. And I feel sometimes I fall in that rut that I'm just waiting till the next time I share with people, or next time I'm in church, or I go to this conference, or I'm doing a devotional. And it's like, no. Our church doesn't happen between the pews. Our church happens every day because we serve a God that's in the business of miracles and loving people. And that happens all the time, any place, anywhere that there are people, our God can show.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So the next thing I want to talk about after an audience of one is your prophetic season, a prophetic season. Your prophetic season. There are many prophets that God uses to accomplish his will on earth. Many. If you're one of them, you're one of many. If you think you're the only one, you might not be used much longer. Understand that God is speaking to us. He loves people in America. He loves people in China. He loves people in Iraq and Iran and Russia and Turkey and Brazil and, you know, hello, Brazil, everybody. He loves you. And he's going to raise up people who are going to hear his voice, like Amos chapter 3 says, and he's going to speak to you. He'll speak to you through so many different ways, but he'll raise prophetic people up. It's important to understand that you are one amongst many delivering his word, not your own word, for the audience of one that we talked about. And your prophetic season, this is important, your prophetic season may sound and look nothing like another person's prophetic season. This is important because so often people try to tell you, well, that's a different word. You know, this is what's being said. Well, that's what he or she's saying that God's telling them to say at this time, and they need to obey God and deliver that word. But if God is telling you or telling me to deliver this word in this time of the season, you deliver that word. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. That's why it's important for you to, when you hear a word, a prophetic word, you got to check it out. Is that a regional word? Is that a national word? Is that a global word? Because you have people that are going to things like, and I appreciate this particular Elijah's list that allows gathers of prophetic words. But some words may be for your nation and not this other person's nation. It may be for you, your region, and not for you. It may be a specific word to you alone and not to other. You got to know how that word's being delivered. So in regards to your season, that you got to answer for God in your season, that you don't want to mix what God is saying through you with someone else. You want to appreciate what God's saying and receive it. If that's God speaking through them, you want to say specifically about that particular person. It's like, yes or no, but I know that person. I know their fruit. They're known by their fruit. You know, that's somebody that you can trust. They have a legitimacy in their their ministry. They love God, and based on what I know, that seems to be a good word. It's okay to take it that way. But if you don't know them, realize too that, you know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many people are going to prophesy in your name. They're going to prophesy in Jesus' name. He didn't say they're going to prophesy wrong. He said they're going to prophesy in your name. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to perform miracles. And he said, I never knew you. God can speak prophetically to a person who doesn't even know him. So it's with fear and trembling we're listening and paying attention to what God's saying. I think about Necho, the Pharaoh of Egypt, and I think about Josiah. And here's, you know, Pharaoh, he's thinking he's God, right? And so he tells Josiah, he prophesies to him when he's going down for war, when Necho, Egypt, Pharaoh is going down to war. He says, this war has nothing to do with you, King Josiah. You stay there, King Josiah of Israel. One of the greatest kings there ever was, according to Scripture, before or after, was King Josiah. So this is an awesome dude who pleases God from a child. And he didn't listen. He didn't listen to Necho. And what happened? He went down to the river in a battle that wasn't his, and he died in his 30s. In his 30s, a man that pleased the Lord. And so it's with fear and trembling, we're listening. We're listening to what God's saying, and you got to hear. That's why we always talk about abiding with God. And if you don't know anything about abiding, go to iabide.org, iabide.org. You got a free plan for you. Learn how to listen to God's voice and to hear him. So it's important to understand that when we, in our season, that when God's given us a word for our season or giving you a word for your season, it's not necessarily a stamp that goes over every situation. Like, this is the word, this is the word, this is the word. You got to listen to what God's telling you to deliver. It could be specifically for a church, one people group, one stream. You know, it could be, you know, God's going to bring that word to do business, ever how he wants to do business and encourage whatever it is. But it's don't not be faithful in your season. Don't mix your words with somebody else. And don't pick up a word that's not yours and claim it to be yours. So many people pick up a word maybe from Elijah's lesson. They start speaking it like it's theirs. And it's like, you need to say, you heard that word from so-and-so, and I believe it's of the Lord. That's how you do it. Because you don't know, first of all. Secondly, it's not your word, and you don't have the authority to be speaking that. And if they missed it, now you've misled somebody. It's a very dangerous thing to speak on behalf of God if you don't know what's going on. And so that's what he talks about in Revelation chapter 2 when he's talking to the church at Thyatira. You know, false prophets rising up and misleading God's people. So if it happened to Josiah, it can happen to you. And so that's important to understand that aspect of understanding that you have a season. Don't overlap your season with someone else. Your life lasts for a certain time. God's going to use you potentially in that particular part of your life. He does it everywhere. He's done it in every season of life. Understand that during your season, you want to be found faithful during your season. The last thing I want to talk about in this program, we'll talk about more on our YouTube channel. Make sure you go to our YouTube channel and hear the rest of this. You can find out details how to get to it right here on your screen. We've got so much material available for you on YouTube. But in comment below, we'd love to hear your thoughts about what's going on. I mean, have you gone through these type of seasons yourself? But the next thing we'll talk about is the same mouth, the seasons of the prophetic, the same mouth can speak right and wrong prophetic words. Right and wrong. The same word, the same. Think about Peter. Peter says, the Apostle Peter said, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? He already said, some say Elijah, some say Paul. But who do you say I am? He says, you are the Son of God. And he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Peter's second word was, Jesus, Jesus, don't go down to Jerusalem. Get behind me, Satan. You have in your mind the things of men, not the things of God. That's the second word, right? So you have to pay attention that the same, don't worship the mouth, don't worship the man or the woman. Understand, listen to what God is saying. Some prophets make the mistake of beginning to battle other prophets who are being faithful in their prophetic season of their life. They literally fall for the deceptive lie that they are the all-seeing God. They know it all, right? Because you can get a word so clearly that you can get a full perspective of things. Because you see that fully, you can think you see everything fully. It's like, no, you don't. You know in part, you prophesy in part. So some can fall to the deceptive lie that they are all seeing and that they are the word and they know what the word is for everyone. And another word is not God. And all of a sudden they begin to come against and battle against other prophets. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yes, if it's a false prophet, if you know this to be true, yes, of course. But if you don't know that, you're going to be talking against God. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira thought they were actually speaking against Peter, trying to manipulate Peter. But he said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Understand, this is God's doing. This is not man's doing. When you come against those that God's established, Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5, it says you're coming against his servants. You're coming against God. So you really want to pay attention. And so you got to guard yourself from not being haughty, you know, when God's using you, that all you know is in part and prophesy in part. You want to be found faithful, you know, in what's going. And so the same mouth that speaks this oracle that just shifts a nation, shifts a church, shifts a region, can say stuff that undoes things. I think about, you know, several people in way back in history that were used powerfully by God. Martin Luther, for example, he was used powerfully by God to bring us into a great era. But the last part of his life, he began to become anti-Semitic and began to speak against the Jewish people. So you have to understand, it's James chapter 3, verse 9 through 12 talks about similar to this. It says, with the tongue we praise our God and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brother and sister, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brother and sister, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. In other words, we need to guard our mouth and what we're speaking over people. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that in the future, about how powerful this is. As a matter of fact, we're going to continue this on our YouTube channel because we're running out of time here. But understand that you start seeing people, and we're going to be talking about, you got to catch it, because we're going to talk about Final Quest, Rick Joyner's prophetic vision, how he saw behind the veil the spiritual battle going on, and he saw people who loved God literally battling with each other. They were battling with each other, and they were infighting, and they were, instead of focusing on darkness and Satan and the powers of principalities and spiritual wickedness, they were actually hurting each other, and they were damaging the church, and they didn't understand. So it's important in your season to do what God tells you to do, with that which he's entrusted to you, being faithful in your prophetic season to trust God in the season and for the results that come out of that season. Just trust him. Just what you want to be found with your response. God's saying something to his people. You're not saying something to his people. What you want to do is be a vessel that he can use, that you don't mess it up, that you deliver it, right? And so you're just looking to him. Like Jesus looked to the Father and only said what the Father said. And you're delivering the word, and the outcome is with them and God, right? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God if they reject a God word. And remember, it's his creation. He's the one that we're creating his image and his likeness. He created it all, right? It is him who loves them so much that he gave his son to die for them. You didn't do that. And you couldn't do it because only Jesus could do that. It was the holy sacrifice. So this is between God and his creation. You don't want to get yourself in between him and his bride. And many people are going to prophesy. Understand the last day's language is dreams, visions, and prophecy. He says everybody's going to pour out a spirit on all flesh, and they're going to prophesy. Saul prophesied. King Saul prophesied, but God also said, I regretted the day that I ever let him do it, right? I regretted the day that I ever let him be king. So when you think about it, he says, when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, listen, when you pray, when you talk to the Father, this is what you pray. Our Father, all of our Father, right? Our Father, everyone's unity, it's a unity statement. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. It's not our will. It's not our will. It's his will being done. We pray it. If you're moving in ministry, in any form of ministry, it's his will you want to see be done. And God's will is no man would be saved, make disciples, and all the things he tells us to do. But when you're speaking prophetically, I mean, think about it. Even at the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was on his way to the cross and he's crying out to the Father, if you can take this cup from me. And anybody that's been used in ministry has probably had something, I mean, not to the extent that Jesus had it, but you've had that extent where you're going like, if there's any way that you could keep me from having to do this thing, God, I would appreciate it. I know one particular pastor, the pastor for years, and he got called as a young man to be a pastor. And he's like, I do not want to be a ministry. I do not want to be a pastor. He literally ended up in his bathroom of his house, I believe in Mississippi, had a shotgun in his mouth about, I do not want to do this. And God spoke to him and then said, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. And turned his whole life around. He gave his life to God. And he pastored for maybe 30 years. Listen, it's God's will. It wasn't his will. It's what God wanted to do through his life. And so Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That is so important because we can really mess things up if we start injecting. And it's hard to keep us out of it because we're in it, right? It's like, how can you use me, God, and I not mess it up, right? Every time I go to do a God thing, I'm in it. It's like, what's going on? How do I not, you know, prayer, right? Prayer. I just pray that it happens. And so God uses, he puts his all-surpassing power in jars of clay to show that it's him that's doing it. It's not you doing it. So don't freak out that you're made of clay. Understand that you are, and it's God doing that thing. But I think of what Charles Simpson said. You know, Charles Simpson was a leader in the charismatic renewal movement in the 60s and 70s. He said, a man often destroys with his character that which he's built with his talents. Think about that again. A man often destroys with his character. This is a man, you know, that's been around for many years. He's a very wise man. He's seen a lot of things. He's wise because he's been through a lot of things. He says, a man often destroys with his character that which he builds with his talents. Listen, you got to check yourself. If you're in this thing, you got to pay attention because, you know, we are spirits that have bodies that possess a soul. Our flesh can mess things up. Other people's flesh can mess things up. People can take what you're saying and twist it and speak in your name. And if you don't say nothing about it, people are, and you know that's happening, you know, you got to speak out and say, well, no, I didn't say that. So that this battling against other prophets and other words. And I think about, you know, Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. I don't know if you've read this book. I encourage you to read this book. But the book is about a vision that God gave him. And he literally pulled the veil back and showed him Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You know, and he showed the battle that's going on. Because the battle that we're in, Ephesians 6, verse 12 tells us, for we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, and principalities in dark places. And that, you know, it's a dark spiritual battle going on, and that we're dead in our sins, under servants of Satan, until we actually become servants of God and sons of God, that God frees us from that, and he sets us free, saves us from that, and puts us up under him through his son when we get saved. And so there's a battle going on for the souls of men. And so when he looked, and I mean, you got to read the book and just see what he saw, but it's just, it'll make sense to you when you read this. But he's looking at all the confusion, and he's watching all of God's people who God loves, and he's wanting to bring them to the mountain, and people couldn't come to the mountain because they were fighting and infighting and jealous and prideful and fighting each other and hurting each other and being offended by each other, and they don't even know about the mountain when God's calling them to the mountain. While the enemy, the spiritual enemy, is just dropping all those dark bombs on them, like, not bombs, but just twisted, perverted things that Satan does, you know, just lies and depression and, you know, infighting, offense, spirits of offense, and they're all this infighting. And so Rick's like, come up here. He's like calling them, come to the mountain, and they couldn't even hear him because they didn't understand. And I've seen this so much. It's so sad. It's just so sad how blind we can be sometimes. Like, why would you ever want to hurt your brother? Why would you ever want to hurt your sister? We are one body, one church, one Lord, one God, one Spirit, and we're the family of God. Whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. We have to be careful how we treat the body. Careful, even the weak ones, we have to be careful. We have to be careful how we're doing that. I don't know how it's going to pan out in the end, but I know that it's common for that kind of thing to take place. And so then he you know, Rick Joyner in this vision has, you know, these arrows of truth, and he's trying to, these demons are literally riding the backs of Christians, right? And they don't understand this oppression's on them, but it's a demonic oppression on them. They're blaming other people for what's on their back. And so he's taking this truth, this is how God's showing in the vision, he's going to shoot arrows of truth at the demon. Well, when the people actually took it personal, when he was actually taking care of the demon that was on their back because they so identified with their bondage and their struggle. when you're delivering a prophetic word, people are going to just, you know, it's going to be rough. But understand, you got to be careful and surgical and loving and do things with kindness. And, you know, you got to be very careful how you deliver God's word, because God's wanting the person to be saved through that, extracted from that situation and brought to the mountain. He wants them at the mountain. But I think about another time in this prophetic vision where God is showing him where he had a sword, and the word of God is a sword, right? And so he's just playing around with the sword. He ends up cutting this tree down because he could. And next thing you know, all this evil started coming out of this thing. He could not undo what he did. The same mouth that speaks blessings can speak cursings. You got to be careful what you're saying. You can build or you can tear up. You know, every man's accountable to God. They're not accountable to you in the context of that. But understand this, that you got to be careful how you wield that word and what you do, how you're doing it. And the last thing I'll talk about from that vision, you got to get the book. I encourage you to get it. Final Quest, is that they had small ministries, if you would, that were out about in this particular city. And they thought it was insignificant. They didn't pay much attention to it. They easily just took them out. They came against them because that infighting was going on. And what happens, all of a sudden this darkness came over the city. And they realized, even though there were a little flickering light, even though that ministry, that church, you know, whatever God was doing through that persons was a flickering light, they were holding territory. They were holding land. They were holding territory and land for God, kingdom land. And now nobody was holding the land because the very same, their brothers and sisters took them out. Isn't that crazy? And they realized, listen, don't mess with anybody that's God's people. Another thing that Charles Simpson said was, I mean, if a dog comes to your town preaching Jesus, throw him a bone. Jesus said, if they're for us, they're not against us. Why in the world would you be against anybody that's for God? And so be very careful as you are saying that you're speaking on behalf of the Lord, how you're speaking out and what you're saying. And even if he gives you a firm word or, you know, that you need to deliver with fear and trembling, realizing that that very same word that you're delivering can come back on you if you're not operating in the context of that very word that God's giving you, because it's his word that's being given, not your word. So I want to encourage you, don't be surprised when the one who is been faithful in their prophetic season, somebody's been faithful in their prophetic season, giving you the prophetic word of the Lord, accurate word, what God has for your life, in their next breath, they're fighting you as if the word never existed. It's like, what? What's going on, right? Peter said, thou art the Son of God. The next one he said is, don't go to Jerusalem. Jesus responds to the first word, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Audience one. And he says, the second one, he says, God did not reveal this to you. Satan revealed this to you. And that's a satanic word. He says, get behind me, Satan. That's what he said. Get behind me, Satan. You have in your mind the things of man. That's where you understand those kind of words come from, not the things of God. So don't brace yourself quite often what I found out. When God delivers a word, because it's God's word through them, it's not them. They don't even understand what's going on because God is accomplishing his plans. Be careful not to dump the word because the vessel was not good. This is so important. I'll never forget, I was in Israel, you know, where God had given me, called me when I was in Israel, side of Tiberias. I dealt with this particular individual that was just giving these prophetic words and pretty amazing prophetic words, but his vessel was a mess. It was just a mess. And I remember calling Pastor Kilpatrick, my pastor, Pastor John Kilpatrick at the time, and he's still my pastor today. And I said, you know, what do I do with this word? He says, you don't have to worry about that word, right? But guess what? That word came to pass. It just came to pass in my life. And the guy was a mess, but the word he delivered was correct. And so the enemy will quite often, what I find, because remember how Rick Joyner saw the vision, what was going on in the spiritual realm, that the enemy will come and just, if he hears the word of the Lord going forth, he'll come and mess with that. Bring division and strife and, you know, call a truthful man a liar, a truthful woman, you know, just anything he can do. Revival, for example, very seldom survives. It normally gets destroyed at the end. Even the move of God gets destroyed by the enemy trying to erase it, that it ever happened again. But you have to listen for that word of God when it comes forth. So this is so important to understand that in delivering that word, and you're hearing a word, to pay attention. Don't be surprised about, be saddened by the infighting. Don't be one that gives blows. You're supposed to be the one that takes blows. You don't want them to. But Jesus avoided people coming against him until his time had come. So don't sit there and be masochistic and say, beat me. But also, don't swing back. Hold your mouth. First of all, if you're walking with the Lord, he may make you humble yourself and go back and apologize to somebody who is being used terribly bad, right? And so you just like, you know, God, I just want to be right before you. I want to. So the same mouth can speak a good word, an accurate word from God, can speak an inaccurate word, and it can happen pretty close together. But you have to be able to decipher between the two, and you don't want to find yourself being one that's actually fighting against God. You know, when they said, the disciples were together, remember, they said, let's go stop them. And they said, we can't stop them. If they're not of God, it will just die out. And if it is of God, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. That's what they said. And so you don't want to find yourself doing that. And so you see people that, you know, our fathers that have gone before us in the Lord, that some of them had short lives, the powerful ministries, but short lives. But you find out towards the end of it, they find themselves infighting with the brethren or the sister and that type of thing. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. So that is the aspect of understanding that season of God. I hope this has encouraged you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.